I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Stew in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
Stew ideas.
Yeah, stew.
One, potatoes.
One. Moving out of Ireland to England.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow.
We're getting very close to doxing me.
Yeah. Three.
My mother's maiden name is.
Yeah. The first pet is called. This is a big episode. I mean, that's not just 402.
You know, I'm calling it right now. This is the last episode of
what? No,
no, it just feels appropriate. You know, it's like the closing of a cycle.
Sure. I mean, it's definitely the last episode of season four.
Mm.
And then we're about the first episode of season five.
Yeah.
I think
the first
half of this is the last half of season four.
Okay. Yeah.
And then from halfway on,
it's a transitional
half.
Moment.
It's the first half of season five.
It feels weird to introduce a character who cannot come back in. So should I die at the end?
If you could.
We'll figure out a way for it to happen.
You probably can come back in. There's probably, you know, it's all going to be doable.
It's been doable for a long time, but I have come to Melbourne.
to make it happen. So for anybody who doesn't know, mm-hmm. Stu has been a listener for a long time and has at first I thought jokingly asked to be on the podcast.
He's also a podcaster in his own right.
I know, but then
at
the beginning I don't think he was.
No.
And so then he developed a career in podcasting and Twitch streaming.
Yes.
The Macaroni Prince himself.
Yeah.
And then was like, can I now be on? And I was like, yes, definitely. And we will get you on. And then we haven't.
We
and
couldn't so organize it from a Zoom call perspective, from like, it's hard enough for Alistair and I to schedule for us both to be on the podcast at the same time. There are so many episodes we record where it's just one of us there and we just can't release them because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then Stu has flown from the other side of the world and made it all the way to Australia. Is that the country
this room? Is Melbourne? Destination podcast.
Yeah. And so can we please welcome our Lorne Michaels.
My goodness, huge.
I mean, you know, because this is the WTF
reference. Of course.
Okay, sorry. I'm so sorry. You've listened to this enough times to know.
I've got every reference you've made so far.
Great. Stu, and now you've told me recently that I haven't been pronouncing this correctly for a long time. McCone.
Not even close. So it's McKeown.
Oh, McKeown.
Yeah. But it's just two syllables.
So much more satisfying. Yeah.
I mean, I think that feels like there's a bit more. There's a bit more like proper.
I'd say that's two and a half syllables.
I think that's
fair. In the middle. Yeah. It feels like there's a little bit. You're asking me to do a bit more work. Well, you know, you're paying me for two syllables, but I feel like I'm doing some overtime.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's hard to express opinions about the Northern Irish accent because it's so rarely heard in media. But the Northern Irish accent essentially is just English with all the spaces taking it. And sometimes then even within words they take further letters out, etc. So really McKeown should be McKeown, just say McKeown. So I guess two and a half is probably a fair compromise.
McKeown. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's actually really, I think, Is it that the muck is just regular English?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then
the muck's regular, man.
Yeah, it's just regular. Yeah. And then the un, that's regular English. Mm. Is there a chance that the yun is that's like Gaelic?
I believe so.
Yeah?
I believe so.
So there you go.
I believe based on the fact that I was born in Ireland, that's correct.
Great. Well, then I'm glad that that's a solid.
Is there anything in this?
I think so. I think. I mean, it feels like there is an oppressed Irish person inside your name. I mean,
does that mean that that if you're taking the spaces out of words, does it mean that you talk faster? That the Northern Ireland thing is to talk a little bit quicker? And is that perhaps an efficiency hack? Is this a sort of a thing that, you know, if we were trying to turn this into a sketch idea, could we get a Northern Irish person into a business to try and teach everyone at work to speak in what's called a business accent?
Business Irish.
Business Irish.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. If you get Northern Irish people to do the end of adverts where it's like, you know, all the legal jargon they have to put in, that would be perfect. A perfect role for a Northern Irish man, just to really slurredly be like, and if it doesn't work for you, I'm ready to go for it.
I mean, that was really fast. And I feel like you were definitely saying things there.
I mostly was.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely feels like there's a sketch to be had in disclaimer being its own accent. You know, there is an island with an S somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean where
islands.
Where the local accent there, they all speak in medical advertisement disclaimer. Accent. They talk really fast and slightly hushed tones.
Yeah.
Okay. But without a lot of intonation.
Okay, wait. So this is, did you say medical?
Medical disclaimer. Like, yeah, medical it feels disclaimer. Like the ones that usually do at the end. But it's also financial advice.
Yeah, I suppose. I'm adding this all under the title of Business Irish.
Business Irish, sure.
And disclaimer Irish. But because I think
disclaimish.
Oh my God! This is the pen from the 400th episode that ran out of ink.
I didn't know that happened.
Yeah. We ruined a whole pen.
Yeah, I've got a pen right in my pocket right here, Alistair.
Yes, this is happening.
Oh no, but that's the pen from episode 3.
Oh no! Oh my God! This is all the historical pens from different episodes have come back to haunt us.
Little did you know, I've actually bought the pen from episode 1 on eBay, and it was very expensive.
Was it really?
$7.
I mean, it'd be amazing if somebody was like coming and grabbing things that we don't even know where they are.
Yeah.
I do think that it's crazy that, especially like in America where they could, you know, they love a disclaimer at the end of an ad where they don't use, they don't use the, like the Irish accent, loophole of making them, you know, not understandable to the general public there by making it fast, possibly Northern Irish.
There would be a fantastic idea in making the disclaimer so incoherent, but actually just in someone's regular accent, because then if someone would say, well, I couldn't understand what they're saying, then you could put it back on to them. That's bigotry.
Yeah.
You know, that's actually not our fault that you couldn't understand this.
Absolutely.
This completely accepted member.
You're not
society.
Willing to do the work to understand.
Exactly. Yeah.
I could get so many jobs here out of this. This is a great
thing. This would be a great thing, you know, and especially because like there is such a big Irish population in the United States that would be there to back you up as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You could almost start a full, you know, like maybe another, I don't want to say another civil war, but that just all comes straight out of Boston. You know, it's Boston outwards. Just saying.
There's definitely an awkward pause there. Not a normal pause. There's a pause of maybe I shouldn't have said this.
You know, I just couldn't remember the word civil.
Yeah.
I just think it's a shame that you have to have your civil wars in your own country. I think you should be able to have an away game where both the sides of whatever civil war go to a third location. So nobody has the home ground advantage, which they both had the home ground advantage at home. But here...
they've both given up the home ground advantage. Yes.
But if you're playing in a separate stadium, you're not going to damage your own country, which is what you're fighting for, right?
Exactly. So it makes a lot more sense.
Put all the countries on a big wheel, spin it, whichever one comes up, that country is evacuated, and that will become the civil war country.
Wow, that's a great idea.
I mean, if you could just get like kind of in the
it's a war zone.
Yeah.
It's zoned for war.
Exactly.
They should have
all the wars.
They should just have war stadiums.
It's a really good idea.
You know, like the arena of war. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you know, it could be like, and like Pokemon battles.
Yes.
Here we go.
You can change the ground. So you're like, all right, now we're going to have a naval battle. And then flood the stadium.
Yeah.
And
I was
like,
say,
get
like,
the boats out.
Like tennis. This war will be played on clay.
Yeah.
See, I went a completely different direction.
No,
I thought when you said it was like Pokemon battle, they'd be like, Austria would just be like, well, we're going to use Schwarzenegger. Like, they pick their most famous.
Sure,
people to do the battle
for
them.
I mean, that would be great too. You know, just have a representative.
Oh, I mean, Northern Ireland are not in a good way.
No, is there nobody who's good at fighting?
I mean, Liam Neeson's from Northern Ireland, but he's quite elderly now.
Sure. I mean, but, you know, if you give him guns and stuff like that,
why would you give a Northern Irish person a gun? No.
Am I saying a lot of wrong stuff here?
No, this is a joke I do a lot. Where anytime someone mentions violence, I just go, why would you bring about a point?
I don't know enough about the troubles.
Well, you'll be hopping. No, neither do I.
That's so great. Oh, good. Yeah, that's really good. Because as I've already doxed, you don't even live in Northern Ireland.
No, I don't.
Yeah, that's really great.
If anyone would like to visit me, I live in Stoke-on-Trent. So if you're in there, just send me a lovely tweet.
That's great. One of my favorite towns on Trent.
Yeah.
Which is there an on Trent version of every town?
Paris on Trent.
Paris on Trent.
Yeah. Here we go. There.
Paris. Are you writing that down?
No. I was going back to proxy civil war.
Oh, that's okay. A very good idea. Third location.
This third location. But yeah. I just because, sorry to take us away from Trent for a moment. But because much like, you know, America's fighting this war essentially with their biggest enemy, but they're not having to send in any of their own soldiers. Is there a way that they could just like have a surrogate civil war that happens where they say they pay, say, what's a country that won't be offensive for me to say this?
England.
They Sweden. Say, hey, America, how about this? Hey, England, how about this? For, you know, $385 billion that we would have spent on this war, civil war. Could you guys have a civil war and tell us who wins?
Well, what if instead of it just being a country, America's just like, hey, we're having a civil war.
Yeah.
Anyone in the world is free to turn up to War Zone, as we've named it, and just sign up for one of the sides.
Oh, that's nice.
And we'll pay you $50.
Open mic.
It's like it's like a pickup game of frisbee.
Yeah.
You know, you show there, we'll assign the teams when you get there.
Yeah. But also
shirts if versus one of
the,
skins.
Yeah, but if one of the teams wins, a lot of bad things are gonna happen. Just be aware of that when you're competing.
Sorry, in war it wouldn't be shirts versus skins. It would be bulletproof vests versus skins.
Yeah. And you'd not believe how often bulletproof vests win.
It's uncanny. It must be something about like how red people wearing red shirts in soccer are more likely to win because they're more energized.
This is a very, very niche soccer reference, but I do think it's relevant. In like 2008 or something, Portsmouth Football Club made their goalkeeper kit have random holographic strips on it because they thought it would make the striker notice the goalkeeper more and be more likely to shoot right at them. And I believe that season Portsmouth conceded their most ever amount of goals. Almost because the strikers were like, well, I can now see the goalkeeper incredibly clearly.
Yeah, I don't even have to look directly at him. It's like my periphery can just follow him.
I was hoping that with holographic strips, it would have that sort of weird effect.
Where it's like a 3D goalkeeper.
If you look at it in the right way, you can see like a magnifying a microscope. Or
how good of a goalkeeper? Or
a butterfly.
Of a sports jersey would that be to have a magic eye sports jersey?
It is a really good idea.
That looks like sort of like the area next to the goal.
But you've got to unfocus your eyes and refocus and really spend quite a bit. You've got to want to see it.
Yeah. Oh, you got to. But maybe the subconscious is picking up on it. Like if you were dressed up like grass next to a goalpost, I feel like that would help you a little bit.
Is there rules that you can't have your jersey look like grass?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you can't be camouflaged.
Do you think that's actually in the rule book of any sport?
Yeah.
You cannot look like grass.
Yeah, can you wear a turf suit? Like
you can cut up those strips of turf. Can we sew those together in some kind?
Because it feels like you'd be able to, you know, a lot of the time they're wearing sponsors, right? But what if you just wear the product of your sponsor, which is turf?
Yeah.
You just get all the turf companies.
Mm-hmm. And this is turf, the earth. With grass, not the trans-exclusionary radical feminist.
Yeah, well, I wasn't suggesting you were you wear J.K. Rowling.
That's a different civil war that's played at a different time.
Yeah.
The people
who
own the two turfs are trying to regain their right.
Yes,
to
the turf war.
It's a turf war.
The turf versus turf. Yeah. Trying to get that homonym. Trying to win the homonym.
There can only be one homonym? Is it turf a homonym? Is it a homophone?
It could be
homograph.
No, it's not homograph because that's that implies
homeostasis.
Looking at something, I think.
Sure.
So phone, So that sound like you're hearing it. But what was the other one?
Sounds like you're hearing a phone. Homonym.
Homonym? I don't know about that one.
Well, that's the one you said.
Oh.
You brought that to the table.
Well, homophone definitely sounds like it's the rightest. Okay, and great. I can concede that, you know, sometimes I can be a little bit wrong. Not entirely. At least the first half of the word was right on. You know. Turf-free turf.
We were talking about guns and stew earlier.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, you know, it feels like you're our Chekhov's gun.
Mm, absolutely. Right?
You've been hanging over the mantelpiece for some time. And now it's time for us to take you down and use you to beat one another to death with.
Absolutely.
But does Chekhov's gun, does that, you know, obviously, you know, if you have a gun over the mantelpiece.
Has to come up later.
It has. Somebody has to be shot with it. Does that apply?
Pasta comes up later. Sorry, that's what I thought you said at first. And then obviously I learned.
Is this a reflux issue we're talking about?
Pasta comes up later.
Yeah. There's pasta with the mantelpiece. It comes up later.
It's Chekhov's meal.
That's going to come up later.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? Is it very rich?
It's a very spicy, very oily.
Acidic?
Kind of dish. It's like an oil-based hot pot.
Grit.
It's like, you know, it's like hot pot, but instead of broth, it's a deep frying.
The deep fryer's at the table.
Yeah, everybody's like got their own deep fryer. Yeah.
Oh, it's really
This feels like this is like American hot pot. Everybody's got their own deep fryer, and then you just got bowls of batter, and you got different meats and different things that you can just dip into the batter, and then you deep fry it.
I can hear the sound of malpractice lawyers getting erections all over the country.
But luckily, they have hired Northern Irish people to deal with us.
Yeah, so that's right.
It'll be fine.
Come on down to our American hot pot. Everybody got their own thing. Like,
that is surprisingly good. I really thought when you took the pause there, you went, oh, I don't know.
No, I was thinking about the troubles again for a moment.
Alistair's eyes rolled back into his head.
And then with only the whites of his eyes, he spoke in perfect Northern Irish.
You mentioned something earlier I wanted to touch on where you said, do Northern Irish people speak very fast? And this is a very, like, Northern Irish reference, but there is two specific Northern Irish accents, which is Belfast, which obviously is the capital city, does have the very quick where they talk like, so this is as fast as we'd normally talk if we weren't in the company, people who aren't from Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
But then the people who live in the rural areas, which is
Belsland.
Everyone else, yes, but they genuinely talk like at a mind-numbingly slow pace, yeah. Like where it's difficult to listen to.
Incredible.
Like, well, yeah, how many sketches you wrote down there? Like that, and it actually turns my stomach to have to listen.
It would be, it's like walking behind somebody who's slow and you're like,
oh, that's
yes.
Awful.
Like, because you're already finishing their sentences in your head. You're like, yes, and the bridge, yep, when you get to the bridge, yep, 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 yep. And then, okay, yep, sure, and you go, oh, I gotta go.
All of it, like family events when my granda starts telling a story that I've heard before, but I have to look at my watch and think, I'm going to be here for 15 minutes to hear about the time the donkey fell in the stream. And that's a very sad story, and I'm sure we could all figure it out for ourselves. Yeah.
Just give me the Google keywords, and yeah. I reckon I could figure out what's going to happen.
Donkey stream, granda was upset.
Was upset. Oh, did the donkey drown?
Yeah.
I like it. That you said that they feel like they'd be able to swim really well.
I mean, it just feels if you've got such a long neck that you're built for like walking through deep waters.
Such a long neck. I don't think of the donkey as having a really like noticeably long neck.
I mean, it's longer than a human's.
Sure. Than the neck of a man.
It's at least 2 to 3 times a human's, human's neck.
Who do you think has the most dangerous neck of all?
Like a man?
I'm going to go out there and I'm going to hickey the most dangerous neck of all. This is instead of hunting an animal, you have to kiss it on the lips.
Yeah. So then you need an animal that has lips.
You need, well, or where the lips would be, the lip zone, the lip region, the mouth end.
Sure. I think a snapping turtle would be one of the worst ones.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They do scare me, actually.
Yeah.
That yeah. Your lips are gone. Like,
yeah.
There's no lips left after yeah. Snapping Turtle's been out.
You would have to go in with the lips retracted like that to protect them.
But is that really a kiss then? Is that not just...
Well, no. I think that they come out at the very last moment. Once yeah. you make contact and, oh, you can control its movement a little bit.
You release the lips.
Yeah.
They're all screaming that in this nature documentary we're creating.
Release the lips!
But I'm interested to know whether or not you're right, whether or not that is considered kissing if you pull the lips back in.
Mm.
You know?
But then if that's
what is
not
that?
Considered...
What is that? That's just...
I mean, you're making yourself look like a turtle.
Mm. They would find that more appealing.
Yeah.
This is we're probably describing the perfect way to kiss a turtle.
That's true.
Until we started, I didn't realize there was a right way.
You know what I love when somebody kisses me? I like if they shape their face to look a bit more like mine. You know, there's nothing better. And that's the thing. And so the idea is that both people do that. And they try to look a little bit more like the other person. And so as they kiss, it's like twins kissing. Identical twins.
Oh, the dream. Wow. We've all been there. We've all sought that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's like me kissing somebody I'm more related to than anyone could ever be. Step identical twin brother.
Oh.
That's how you would get around it online.
But again, it's only kissing.
Yeah, that's right. It's only kissing.
It's only, and also it's only kissing with the skin above the lips.
Yeah, above that's right. Yeah, because you both made yourself look like a turtle, which is the perfect midpoint.
I mean, I think this is an exciting. We're working in what must be a very the very bleeding edge of internet pornography, which is finding new ways for people to be intimately connected with one another without being blood relatives.
Yeah.
And ways to make it on one level okay, but on another level still quite naughty.
Yeah.
And the step identical twin kissing but not with the lips. Yeah. Kissing with, but I want to know what you would call that. The skin-covered, the skin-covered tooth lumps.
Yeah. Firm tooth lumps.
I wonder
yeah.
if the listeners are imagining what we've been doing this whole
time.
Well,
we're pulling our lips into our own mouths.
Into our own mouths.
So it's almost like there's a suction, but it's all through the muscles of the lips.
This is the mouth that we're doing, a lovely phrase.
Yeah.
Is what I would describe as how a young person would impersonate an old person, like a toothless person.
That's right.
That's the kind of kissing we're doing.
Yeah. We're trying to. Yeah, exactly. We're doing that as either somebody old or somebody with very poor dental hygiene who's not taking care of their things, and then that facial structure disappears, and it all sinks
the
in.
The teeth and the cheeks just sort of sink in,
like Chet Baker did after he lost all his teeth and looked. I'm going to say it. Not as handsome for my tastes.
Yeah. Sure, thank you.
I think that if we were going in for a kiss, I think he would struggle to make his face look exactly like mine give me the kind of kiss that I like.
Of course,
yeah,
it's understandable.
Now, before we wait, what was it? Kissing the neck of the
the most dangerous. It was give a hickey to the most dangerous neck of all. But I made it just to kissing animals on the lips.
Well, that arose a question in my mind: is a snake all neck, or is that does it no longer become neck whenever there's no body after it? Do you mean is it just head and tail, or is that head?
Well, it
neck?
Depends. I guess it depends on which end you start looking from.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
If you start looking from the tail end, then the tail has the gets to frame the debate,
That's true. Yeah. History is written by the winners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first mover advantage.
Yeah.
That definitely on a rattlesnake. That's, it's hard a rattlesnake would be hard to say it's a rattleneck. He's rattling his neck. I mean, but is that just like coccyx? Is that just kind of like a bit of spine that he just shakes?
Sorry, I just got a real shiver there imagining someone shaking their head and hearing the bones of their neck.
Oh, rattle neck. Like that. And you go, whenever you're in danger, like you're like, you just you hear the bones clanking.
I think that could be a defensive mechanism.
Oh, it would be.
Yeah, it's just so off-putting.
Oh.
If I was being Well, I was going to say if I was being mugged, but if I was mugging someone and they did that immediately, I was like, well, no, thank you. Yeah. I'm not doing this.
If you could, like, if you had, like, one bone as well that just didn't have any cartilage and you could grind the bones against each other, I think that that would put off anybody. You could chase bad guys away. You could be a vigilante. And they're like, no!
So this is a superhero and his superpower is that he has no cartilage in his joints.
Yeah.
And he uses the viscerally unsettling sound of his bones grinding together.
The bone
grinder. Bone on bone, man.
The bone grinder.
The bone. Yeah, I mean, I've still got him down as Rattleneck, just so that we remember.
Yeah, of course. Like, of course. Maybe that's how he discovers it.
Yeah, that's right. It just starts with this like that, and then somebody runs away. This is what happens in primary school when somebody's picking on him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's walking around going, oh, just running, holy shit. Like that, but he uses it for good. Grinder.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I wonder why they were picking on him, this guy. With no cartilage and who talks like a very old man in primary school.
But when we were talking about vigilante, I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, and not that much, but just these two words.
Mm.
Vigilante fireman.
Yeah.
Like,
do go on. Wow.
Just because it doesn't make any sense. But like the idea that you would go put out fires that you see around the city, but then it would be like, I guess you'd be extinguishing people's cigarettes and like cakes on, you know.
You're thinking like an extreme, like a Batman style.
Yeah, Batman style. He swings in through the window. He puts out the fire in your fireplace.
Mm-hmm. Every candle in the house.
Yeah. This is him pinching. Like that, you've got like, you know, rose petals on your bed, and you're luring your beloved to, you know,
luring. It's a good thing this vigilante's
is you tricking your.
You know what beloveds are like? They see a trail of rose petals, and they're compelled to follow it.
You play a little, a little kazoo.
The most romantic of the most.
Wait, I don't know. I think I'd play. Sorry, I'm thinking about the Troubles again. Old Lang Syne. I think that would be. And I'm throwing petals out like this, and I'm luring her this way, honey.
And then
like
there's a lightning bolt outside in the shadow of the vigilante fireman's.
The shadow's over my face like that. And I'm like, like that. And then you hear these. It's completely dark now. Mm. Don't fuck. I don't know. He said, "Don't fuck." And then he just actually.
Yeah. Wow. Is it just fire he wants to extinguish,
I'm not
or
sure.
or any flame? Possibly
between us. Yeah.
The sparks of romance.
Exactly. He doesn't want any, even metaphorical fires. That's why he's such a vigilante. Should I write this down?
But then are they like the traditional firefighting forces? Are they warning people against taking not the law into their own hands, but the smothering?
Taking literally taking the flames into your own hands and extinguishing candles with your hands and like that. And he's got that little flower that clowns have and he uses that like that. He could be a clown as well. I mean...
This idea is, if anything, getting more coherent.
You could be a clown.
Alistair, don't just write this down. I reckon underline it. I reckon. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you reckon that there's someone on the inside of the fire?
Inside the fire?
No. I meant the firefighters, like, you know, on his side, like how Batman has Gordon, etc.
Yeah. Probably the warden. A fire warden.
Warden Gordon?
Yeah. Warden. Warden Gordon.
The warden.
and he does, and this vigilante firefighter does speak with a very stereotypical Swedish accent.
Of course.
He goes, there you are, Warden Gordon. that's what Swedish people sound like.
Very stereotypical.
Yeah.
Yes. What about this? Monotypical. There we go. All right. Good night.
Back in.
I'm trying to move away now from the our vigilante firefighter.
Our vigilante.
Firefighter idea.
Yeah, but no, you've been thinking about that for a few days.
I mean, I've had those two words. I mean, I didn't have him, you know, in my mind. He didn't swing into people's houses yet and extinguish the fire.
Well, I don't know if
he'd
swing into
heart.
People's houses. I think he'd come down a pole.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He would jam a pole into the house. That would
like
be
into the through roof. The window. Yeah.
No, just like straight through the roof. Just comes, just smashes it down.
Down and then slides down.
It'd be a very incredible sound to hear smashing of a roof and then just.
Like he's, he's not really.
He's wearing shorts, so you can hear his thighs. Oh, no. It's like sliding down the thing, down the pole. Like that, and he takes his pole with him when he leaves. Like that, and he, so he climbs back up, and he and he slides it back out, and then he uses it to kind of like, you know, he drops it on the ground, and then
maybe he pole vaults, swings across. That would be good. Instead of it's sort of the opposite of Spider-Man, right? Where instead of swinging from the tops of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Pole vaulting.
He sort of pole vaults, and he doesn't sling webs which are strong under tensile strength. Mm-hmm. He utilizes his ability to shoot out poles which have strong compressional strength.
Ah, compressional.
Compressional.
Yeah. I just thought he had one pole.
No, well, I don't know. I think my guy might be able to shoot out the poles.
Where do they come out of his wrist?
I was going to say his arms will look terrible because Spider-Man's webs are at least capped kind of within a fluidy form. But the poles in the wrists.
And they're blunt. These are blunt poles that burst through his flesh every time he shoots one.
It'd be very hard to keep a secret identity. Everyone like, Peter, your arms are so dense and poly.
I mean, this is getting very close to the we had a version of, you know, maybe 200 episodes ago, a version of a Wolverine who would push a rock out of his hand every time he needed to fight, and he was just like like that, and it would come out like that, and it could be related, but he's a pole. It's like
I don't remember that idea, but then does he just hit people with
the
rock?
He hits people with the rock. And then as a duo when they used to be together, probably when they started out as
Wolverine and
this
rock.
Guy and this
well, rock hand.
No, rock hand is the Wolverine rock hand and pole vaulting, pole hand guy.
Yeah.
They probably, when they started out, they're probably, I wouldn't be surprised if they were step identical twin brothers. But they were called Sticks and Stones.
Oh,
back in those days,
good. Because I was going to say, I think Wolverine rock hand and pole hand man are not great.
No.
But Sticks and Stones, sticks I'm very
and
stone.
They may break your bones.
They will. But later on, they will either extinguish your your flame, and Wolverine stone rock Wolverine will still break your bones.
I like that vision of the poles crashing down to earth and somebody, you know, swinging. Pole vault style from
the rooftop.
I think it's a very funny image to me that of pole vault man just getting tripped up, because that's the thing with Spider-Man, right? Is Spider-Man is so agile that in the air, even if he falls, he's never able to catch himself. Pole vault man's going to be getting knocked over constantly.
He's basically on stilts on hands.
And he's getting tangled in like electrical wires that are very high up. So he's like, oh, and he lands on the electrical wires. And I guess he's just made a rubber suit so that he's like, I'm not going to almost die again from, you know, being like
again, because it absolutely did happen.
It's happened many times, and he's been revived. But that's the thing with getting electrocuted, is that it does stop your heart, but then it starts your heart again because the electricity keeps going through, you know. If it's short enough, maybe.
Remember about 5 minutes ago you said I'm trying to get away from,
from this idea
from vigilante firefighter.
I know, but he's, you know, it's such a he's got a
hold over us in some way. He's got his siren song played on the kazoo. Is it interesting that the word siren for, you know, like a fire siren or whatever was originally it would have come from the sirens of Greek mythology, whose heavenly song lured you towards them.
Yeah.
Whereas nowadays, sorry, I'm going to finish the sentence. Everybody knows where it's going, unsatisfying it's going to be when I get there.
It's just great to hear somebody from Belslow speak live.
But now the siren is played to, if not make you run away, at least pull over to the side of the road and allow the sirens to pass.
That happened to us this very day.
Going up Sydney Road today.
There you go.
That's right. I've been showing Stu all of the sights and scenes of...
I've seen all the stupid old studios today.
Yeah.
Well, mostly from a distance.
From a distance, yeah. One didn't even see, but he saw the beginning of the street and the sign that said "street closed." But he did see the one where our children were made in.
I don't think I conceived any children.
Oh, you didn't.
In that building.
Oh, I was going to say.
That
I was like, Zandy, I have terrible news.
Yeah. Because you have quite a few. In case anybody who isn't in the Discord has not seen this in the Discord, I thought that there was a great nickname for Andy that came up in the Discord, which was Coney, because Andy has an army of children.
I didn't see that in the Discord. Well, that is very funny.
Yeah.
Coney 2012. Yes. That's how many children I have.
Yeah. Coney Matthews. Does that sound good? Does it remind you of anybody else's name?
Well, Coney Matthews. Oh, I guess it sounds a bit like my dad's name.
Yeah.
He's also called Coney. He's called Coney Matthews.
Very
which is why name. That's such a good pun.
When you were mentioning my last name earlier on, my brother's nickname in school for a while was Coney because of McKeown and because of how people said it, like you were, it was McCone.
McCone.
So he got called Coney for a while. And then around 2012, that stopped very suddenly.
Sure. Odd. I mean, I would double down.
It stopped because he moved to Africa and became a warlord. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't actually know what he was doing with the kids, you know? Maybe he's doing something important.
That's true. He could have been doing something. He could have been, you know, sewing
maybe
blankets for the
area.
Unfortunate.
Maybe this isn't a good area for
sure. I mean, I don't know enough about African history personally, but I feel like this is pretty safe.
But I do know enough professionally.
Wait.
Personal, professional.
Oh, personal.
I know enough professionally.
Yeah. Sorry, thank you.
Thank you.
That's... I feel like I've heard Tony Matthews do a joke like that before.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like something my elder would say. Step. I was thinking about nepotism.
Yeah.
And I was thinking it's a shame it really only goes one way. I think it would be great for young people who are successful to keep giving careers to people who in their family who are older and older than them.
Yeah.
Casting their fathers who then pass on, are able to then cast and give careers to their grandfathers.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, and like, and then go into even the elderly, like dead.
I don't know about going into the dead. I think then the idea gets a bit sort of confusing, but
that's where I like it.
But I think that is where you like it. So,
cause I mean, imagine getting your great grandfather a job, you know, or you get him in a very high up position in a sort of like a law firm or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just his coffin and then it's open and it's behind a desk and you go, oh, who the fuck is that? And they go, oh, that's, you know, the director.
He's one of the partners. How did he get this job?
There's a great business to be had with being the guy who marionettes all the dead relatives. And I have the perfect name for it. And I will just say I have come up with this idea many years ago.
Yeah.
Abracadavers.
The Abracadavers. And that's the kind of the great thing. It's like one of those people who like takes care of like one of those cats that's been left a lot of like $1 million or whatever when their owner died.
Yeah.
And you go, yes, all the money's going to the cat.
That is still alive.
Yeah. Here I am brushing it with this gold brush and things like that. But then to be able to like, to sort of
puppet
like,
it.
Yeah, puppet being like Bernie at Sanders.
Bernie at Sanders' house.
A weekend at Bernie's, was that meant to be?
Weekend at Bernie's is what I was trying to do.
But now I'm imagining a comedy film where it is Bernie Sanders at the Colonel Sanders house. Bernie Sanders has died at KFC and everyone's trying not to let everyone know.
Well, it could just be some people are like bringing Bernie Sanders to Colonel Sanders' house against his will because he doesn't want to be near any capitalists.
Yeah, of course.
And they're like making him seem like he's really into it and they're opening up in his mouth.
But is he dead?
No, he's alive.
He's alive, okay.
But he just really doesn't want to be
there. But it sounds like he doesn't have a lot of agency.
Yeah.
If he's not dead, he's certainly not doing well.
We're not saying it's a good thing. Yeah. We're just saying it's happening.
I'm really having a great time here. Yeah, I really like KFC. Like
it's possible to create art that depicts people undertaking acts that you don't personally agree with.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why Nabokov could write Lolita.
That's right.
And that's why we're able to come up with Bernie at Sanders. I'm not saying it's good for people to do this to Bernie Sanders.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. But I'm saying that if you were to get him at Colonel Sanders' house while he was alive.
What I'm saying is that this work of art addresses and discusses important issues that would otherwise be unaddressed. Like, what would it be like if someone did take Bernie Sanders to Colonel Sanders' house and marionette him like it was Weekend at Bernie's, even though he's still alive? I mean, we should be able to have these discussions. And if we can't as a society, then we risk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Anyway.
It's a free speech issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
I really find the image in my head of Bernie Sanders trying to fight back while some people are just holding him still, making him eat chicken very funny. As much as it's also very upsetting.
Yeah, while he's still kind of yelling, they're having to yell louder. And to make his voice still, to do it while doing his voice, he's going, release me. I don't want to be here. This is. I'm here against my will. So police arrest these people, and then over the top they're going, "I am enjoying this. This is a great time. May I have another piece of chicken? Thank you." Like that, and they're making putting chicken in his mouth. Like, I assume he's a vegetarian. I assume he probably wouldn't be into that. Do you think that's the worst?
Do you think that's why he wouldn't be into it?
Yeah, he wouldn't be into it.
He's like, I'm really not into this because I'm a vegetarian. The rest of the stuff I could take or leave.
The piloting
my body against my will. That's fine.
Yeah. I think, you know, sometimes you just gotta make it and then see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I would be interested to see what are the circumstances that lead. What I would really like is I would love that to be the opening scene, right? That's happening to Bernie there. We're dropped in the middle of the action. This is great filmmaking. Yeah. Tarantino-esque. We're dropped right in the middle of the action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then cut 1 week earlier.
Perfect,
We depict the chain of events that has led to some people having to do this.
Yeah, having to do it. Like they've got no other choice. Yeah.
When it does the 1 week earlier as well, to echo the Tarantino filmmaking, the first shot was, it's just a black background, but then you realize that the camera is inside a bucket of chicken. They lift the lid off and you can see the three characters looking into the bucket. Perfect.
Yeah, we're all out of chicken.
Yeah, and then it just comes up Bernie and Sanders.
That is a very fun creative technique, I think, which is to imagine a stupid situation that your people could be in and then go back and write the, I guess you're wondering how I got here.
Yeah.
Maybe Bernie Sanders turns to the camera and says that.
I suppose, but against his will?
Yeah. That's right.
I suppose you're wondering. Hello.
It's a great Patreon bonus episode of Nothing Else. Five ideas Bernie Sanders wouldn't enjoy being part of.
Submit it. Please submit your Patreon.
Just do it. Alistair, you can write it down. You can submit it.
Side tank.
You submit it. You'll get to it eventually.
I have proof that the three words from old listener thing is done against the rules that Al says, so I don't think that me submitting a Patreon idea is...
Wait, you have proof? Wait.
Yeah, because one time I just asked you if I could give you three and you said yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes it's just like, I was going to maybe break the rules today as well. Wait, I just got to write down this Sanders. Sanders.
I've got to write this down in detail.
He wouldn't like...
I mean... Let me see. I wonder, you know, if we were to turn, this is going to be a difficult concept to explain.
Yeah,
I'm locked in.
But, you know, to Weekend at Bernie's someone has become, I think, a
very popular trope, but you don't see it that much.
No, you don't. I don't think you see it actually played out all that much, no. But, like, I'm trying to think of like, what is the hamburger version of Weekend at Bernie's, which is the idea that to turn the hamburger, the concept of a hamburger, into a more broadly... God, I'm in trouble. I think there should be... Okay, so this is it.
Andy, you were thinking about the troubles. Say you were thinking about the troubles.
Thinking about my troubles. Yeah. Hamburgering, right, the noun to hamburger something, mm-hmm. I think means to take the end or a part of a word and turn it itself into a category of things or an approach to something. So you can then have a fish burger, you can have a veggie burger. Yeah, you've taken the burger part, which itself originally had no meaning, but you've turned it into a suffix, right? And I wonder if, I mean, we say Weekend at Bernie's-ing, somebody, but it feels like that's not.
It should be just Bernie's Bernieing.
Yeah, or it should be weekend atting. Weekend you know, atting, so yeah. Like if you wanted to, this is a bad example, you wanted to Weekend at Bernie's Bernie Sanders, I think you would just call that Weekend at Bernie Sanders. I regret everything about this discussion.
I know, but I guess you could do Weekend at Burgers.
Right. Okay, go on.
And then this is somehow, this is not good, but I'm just saying, like, I'm just trying to, take your idea and make it into something.
But I love that you are absolutely taking this bullet for me. By carrying my burden, it has become too heavy for you to carry.
Once an idea.
Lay your terrible sketch premise upon me, and I will carry it for you. You're very much the Jesus Christ of sketch ideas.
That's right. I'm not afraid to... give out the worst sketch idea of all time, has anyone done that podcast, the worst sketch idea of all time?
You get to the end of your podcast with Jesus Christ and you look back on the waveform of the podcast, the two channels that you've recorded your podcast on.
And you see there's only one waveform.
You see that for sometimes the what felt like the most creatively dry sections of the podcast, there is only one waveform. And you say, Jesus Christ, where were you in the riff for me?
Yeah, when I needed you most.
When I needed you most.
When I was doing Weekend at Bernie Sanders.
And Jesus says, that's when I carried the riff.
Anyway. So he was doing it by himself. I was doing both voices.
Yeah, I guess.
In your mic.
Yeah.
I'd put you to sleep.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Injected your neck.
I think it makes more sense than Weekend at Bernie's. Yeah.
Weekend at Burgers is where you're trying to convince somebody that there is such a thing as a talking burger.
And, that completely differently.
Yeah, okay, right. Well, I was just, and then that somehow he was like, this was a burger, talking burger that everybody
thought loved.
Was very loved and
it was
thought
a
was
beloved
very popular.
Talking burger.
And then, but somehow, everybody believed that he was a talking burger before you ever animated it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think he actually was a talking burger. Yeah. I think he has to have been a talking burger.
Yeah.
For some reason, a burger making genius invented a talking burger, and then the talking burger inventing genius died horribly. Right. But his creation, much like Edward Scissorhands, lived on, the talking burger. Everybody loves the talking burger. Okay. In a difficult and divided world, maybe it's the talking burger that was brought everybody together. But then you accidentally eat the talking burger. Now you have to pretend that the talking burger is still alive because the Pope is coming to dinner. And he's excited to meet the talking burger.
See, I went in a very similar way to you. That was crazy how accurate our ideas were. Okay. Except I was thinking it was like Jack Frost idea, where the inventor of one of the great burger chefs of all time died and somehow became a talking burger. Okay. Like his spirit went into the last burger he
did. Really
and
good.
Everyone had to keep it alive. And then someone was like, I think I could probably just have a bit. And then it was too late and they were gone. Yeah.
It was a very fragile burger, a talking burger, and you needed every single piece of him. You just thought, if I have one bite.
Oh, And that's perfect for why the Pope's coming, because he's like, well, the spirit's inhabited this burger, so I've got to come.
I mean, it feels like a talking burger could be a thing that if you were in a cult, there would be a photo of a burger with little googly eyes on it in the center, and you're like, oh, it's the supreme burger. Mm-hmm. And then at some point when it's time to all meet the burger,
the weekend at burgers.
Weekend at burgers. He's going to go to the burger's mansion.
This has become even stranger now. It's a cult where everyone worships a burger. And you are the guy who's like the earthly communication.
Yeah,
and you realize you've eaten the burger, so you now have to pop out a burger for the weekend to convince people to join your cult.
Yeah, maybe you believed that there was a talking burger and you just realized at the end that you were fucking insane. And then, so then you're like, oh shit, I have built a whole thing.
You have a moment
this.
Of clarity.
Yeah.
One moment, yeah. I guess that's what happened to religious people. They have an epiphany of some sort.
But that's the opposite of an epiphany, right?
Well, I mean, to realize that there is no talking burger feels like, if you didn't realize that, it feels like it's a huge epiphany.
I think epiphany is in a religious epiphany is traditionally one where you realize that God is real, or that your faith should be stronger, or that there's something there.
Sure.
But the moment where you realize that the talking burger isn't really a talking burger.
Hmm.
Well, I think that there's a chance that you were in a religion, but you had a regular epiphany that was not religious.
Okay, sure.
Oh, that's the problem. Like, you can't always control the types of epiphanies, you know?
Mm.
Should I write down weekend at burgers?
Yeah.
I think weekend at burgers is good.
I think you could write down weekend at burgers, sure.
I don't think that's a sketch as much as a film. I think that's a very weird, absurdist film.
I love the idea of a burger chef dying and his spirit going into one of the burgers.
Yeah, that does.
But I like then the idea of it extending even more so to then the cult that worship the burger and him just being like, I'm just a normal guy that's trying to get to heaven.
Yeah.
But they're all worshiping him. And then one of the guys eats that burger and then he has to convince all the rest of the cultists the burger's still alive.
I think it would be disappointing if you were a sentient talking burger. But you had no additional insights into the nature of reality. And then people would... I don't know why, but I feel like they would assume that you would have access to some kind of higher knowledge or at least a different perspective on things. But the fact that you're just a regular guy and you don't want these followers.
You know how I think he would eat it? Is that he would come home drunk one night and the burger would just be sleeping on the
couch. The burger's asleep.
And you're like, oh, that's just a regular burger.
Yeah.
Like that. Because it probably lives in a burger shop, maybe.
Yeah, sleeps above a McDonald's.
Yeah. And so then he's like, oh, I'll just eat this. And then in the morning he's like, wait, no, no! What have I done? Finds the crumbs on his belly or whatever.
I thought it tasted extra savory. Savory.
Yeah.
I don't want to stick too much to weekend at burgers, but do you think the spirit would then go into him?
Maybe into his shit.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Then
because you can't digest the spirit. It just passes straight through you.
But that would be great, right? Because then if, again, for weekend at burgers, the whole first day where he's puppeting the burger, and then he's like, I've had such a bad day, I have to go just sit down and have a think, goes and takes a shit that he hears the voice again.
Mm. Yeah, and then he has to shape it into a burger patty. And then... try to get rid of the stench so that he can then put it into an actual burger again and then just make it work.
But then that burger keeps telling everyone that he ate me, so he has to then pop it at Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, they turn him around. They turn him against him. This is actually a really good movie.
It's a really good movie.
Because you get like one or two days where he has to puppet the burger, but then you get the shit come out. I mean, you think then he would have thought, I could just flush this and get rid of all these problems. But then he was like, oh, I can fix this. I won't need to puppet anymore.
I think there is a simpler version, perhaps, of this movie that maybe doesn't... I'm sorry if this corrupts the idea in any way, but actually doesn't involve any burgers.
Wait, I don't like this already. Wait, is this... are you just doing Bernie at Sanders?
He's doing Weekend.
Yeah.
It's
The Weekend.
Do you think if they did a Lego sequel to Weekend at Bernie's, do you think it would be called Bernie's or Weekend or at Bernie's? Because that's what you do when you do a Lego sequel. No, you take out some of the key words from the title. Or at.
Yeah, Week Bernie's.
We took out the end at.
The Weekend.
This is my
Bernie Sanders.
This is my pitch is a movie in which Jesus Christ comes back to Earth. He returns to Earth. Okay, it is the second coming. Mm-hmm. But then, and much like in the Bean movie, you know, the original mm-hmm. Mr. Bean yeah. movie in which he accidentally destroys Whistler's mother and then has to recreate Whistler's mother from a poster and some egg whites, right? We have Jesus comes back, right? And then it's a farce. The Pope accidentally kills Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
And funny. Then he has to try and everybody, he's told everyone Jesus is back, right? And yeah. Jesus is going to be returning, you know, and appearing before the masses.
Mm.
But now the Pope, I mean, I love a Pope farce in which the Pope is yeah. running around trying yeah. to, mm-hmm. you know, Weekend at Bernie's Jesus Christ.
Especially if he hits him accidentally with one of the big scepters or something like
scepters.
That.
One of the big scepters, yeah.
You very know. Very good as well, because normally the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the third day would be Monday and he'd probably just come back. That'd be yeah. great.
But which
he spends
the
whole weekend trying to be like, oh, he's still alive, and then just Jesus just sets yeah. up and he's like, what have you been doing?
Yeah.
Very good.
Do you think the Pope would dress up as Jesus and try to give a sermon?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that balcony he does the sermons on a room is very high up. It'd be yeah. very hard to see him.
Yeah. Yeah. There are good cameras, though, these days.
I do think he would probably, in my mind, I think he's probably propping up.
Yeah.
propping up Jesus and wiggling him around.
It's like a broom up the back.
I guess he has to make, well, he has to make a kind of a crucifix type thing, yeah. tying two broom handles together.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to say nail Christ to yeah. this thing so he can wiggle him like a scarecrow, yeah. but maybe yeah. maybe just tie his wrists to it.
I mean, you could use a crucifix as a pretty good marionette tool again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you get the Pope way up higher than him.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because that is a really good thing. You just get a bit of string on there. Just on you, just he would take one of the crosses off of the wall,
exactly. Yeah,
like that, and just get some like this. And he's already got another Jesus on this one, too. He's like, ooh. He's like, which one? He's like, oh, yeah, that's and would it be 1-to-1 with the arm moving that arm?
I mean, probably. Mm.
I think you need one to wiggle the head, I think, and then you use one can wiggle the legs.
You know how they do that thing when they name the new Pope, they change the smoke to white smoke to signify it's the new Pope?
Yeah.
When I was in high school, a friend of mine thought that was the sign that God had picked the Pope and that they just had lined up a load of priests. And they all just sat in the chair. Then when the smoke went white, they're like, well, I guess you're the Pope.
Wow.
And I really love the idea of every priest in the world, when the Pope dies, is forced to fly to the Vatican and just queue
and
up.
They walk through.
Yeah. It's sort of musical chairs yeah. style. When the Pope turns white, when the smoke turns white, yeah. you're the Pope.
Yeah. yeah. They all start clapping.
Mm. What's that a song? Is that what song is that referencing?
I have no idea. I don't know where that came from.
When the smoke turns white, you're the Pope.
I don't know. My brain was like, do something to the tune of the musical chairs song. And I did it. But then my brain was like,
what musical
chairs? There is no musical chairs song.
Yeah, but I like that you're
the musical chairs song burned down 50 years ago. Yeah. What are you talking about?
There's not been musical chairs here for years.
For 25 years. I think that there's a chance that we might have enough sketch ideas.
I reckon so, yeah.
Yeah. Now, so would you be okay if we go to three words from a listener?
I want to talk a bit more about Bernie at SED. Yes, love that.
Now, I thought that maybe you could just provide three words since you are a listener. I mean, right. I know you're not here in your listener capacity. Yeah, you're here in your right. speaker capacity.
We'd like to, Stu,
mm-hmm.
we'd like to speak to the listener.
To okay. listener, no listener within you.
No problem. All right, I have got three words in my head, Andy, if you'd like to guess them as per the rules.
Yeah, great.
Okay, the first word is undercarriage.
It does begin with a vowel.
Oh,
it was investigate.
Investigate,
oh,
okay.
That's good, investigate. Okay.
Investigate. Underwater.
The second word was goat.
Oh no.
Investigate goat crime.
The third word was portmanteau.
Investigoat.
Well, it makes me think investigoat. Exactly. Is this what you were hoping for? Yeah. It is sort of an investigoat.
More or less.
Yeah. I mean,
investigoat. It's a shame that we had Inspector Rex, but we didn't explore the
There are no shows where a goat is the star, is there?
Not that I can think
of. Are they just too difficult to train and to deal with? And to
they're famously like, just very gruff, right? They're just a very like temperamental animal, I feel.
Yeah.
And they're always eating everything.
Yeah.
Now, the word gruff, where did you get that from? What made you associate that with goats?
No, let me think.
Because like gruff, does that mean that it just means grumpy? It does feel like that's something an investigator would be.
Are goats the only gruff animal? A Gruffalo, but that's fictional.
Of course.
That's
fictional. Yeah. No, of course.
Let's not be ridiculous.
Let's not be too
keep it
silly.
Grounded.
But I mean, like what is a traditionally grumpy animal?
You think of bears, I guess, as being grumpy.
Yeah, but they also look like silly billies
sometimes.
They
do look like silly billies and they have a bit of fun.
They respond to waves, I've found out. If you wave at a bear, it will wave back.
It will wave back. I mean, it's not
everyone.
Just
every single one of them, I guarantee that now.
There was that.
If you see a bear and it doesn't wave back to you, you're the problem.
Yeah.
You've done something.
Oh, no. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you? I mean, there's that bit at the end of Grizzly Man. Have you seen Grizzly Man?
I think many years ago.
Yeah.
And does he wave to the bear?
Well, because he spends all his time with the bears. Mm. And then I think he ends up at some point where the bears are very hungry. And they're not bears that know him.
Mm,
and I think that he does not get out of that situation.
Okay.
And Werner Herzog says to whoever has the video camera that he just listened to the audio of. He goes, "You must promise me you will never listen to this. This is terrible," that kind of thing.
Oh, God.
So they might be a bit gruff.
What I thought you were going with that was the idea of that happening, right? And then like a camera just trailing along like the outline of like a handprint, etc.
Yeah.
And it just pans up to a goat in a trilby. The goat just chewing like a little bit of cod or something, just like another one.
Not another one. Yeah. I know who did this.
I think the problem with a goat as an investigator is that they would probably eat a lot of the evidence.
Mm. I think that's where the comedy comes from.
Yeah, I do like that.
I like the idea of them calling in the investigator.
Yeah.
Like they're like, "Well, look, we've done all we can here. We've got to get a specialist in." They show him the evidence. He looks at it, looks up at them, starts eating the evidence.
That's how good he is that he can keep getting rid of all of the evidence and then still get his guy. Mm. I don't know if he gets a conviction, but he can still find the right guy.
He never gets a conviction.
Never
gets. He's like, "This is the guy," but like, that's all I can do. Yeah.
He's gonna walk free, but we know he definitely did it.
Him. And in a way, justice has been served in that regard, in that we all know who the criminal is. We can't report on it because that will be defamation, and we you could get out of defamation if you had a proof that it was true.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, something I have been considering in the realm of murders and serial killers is whether or not, if they announce that there's a serial killer on the loose, whether or not that should actually be considered good news, because if there's been a bunch of murders, there's been 10 murders recently, you have the possibility that either there are 10 murderers out there or there's one prolific serial killer.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, is it on the balance, is it better news for society that actually we've consolidated all of our psychopaths into one easy-to-manage serial killer rather than having a, multiple... And to confront the essential darkness that is at the heart of all humanity,
it's trying
that any of us are capable of murder. Mm.
Trying to find the murder to person ratio. What's the perfect?
What's
line?
Well,
because there are benefits, right? There's benefits if there's 10 murderers, then you get to have a few more convictions. That looks good on your record.
Sure, point of view of the police.
But it's also less work to just get one guy, not have to hunt down, don't have to use as many resources.
I think also you'd probably get more praise to take down a serial killer.
You get more praise, that's true. Mm. But is it equivalent to the praise of having got down 10 people?
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
I
guess it depends on the type of murder also.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's true.
Well, I guess that
if
also...
it was really gentle, kind murder, you know?
Well, it was more like, do they have any reasoning whatsoever to be violent at this moment?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, obviously, there's no reason that it's valid to murder. Sorry to be crazy here.
No.
Are there any justified serial killers where they were just in a series of situations? There's still a series, so they're still a serial killer. But in every situation, it was an un. it was justified homicide based on this unlikely situation that they got themselves into.
This seems more like a serial manslaughter.
Yeah. I do like that. Yeah. Serial manslaughterer.
A person who is just so ill prepared for regular life that they keep accidentally killing people. Yeah. Like just park at the top of hills and doesn't know how to put the handbrake on, things like that.
Like manslaughter through self-defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the possibilities.
So. Yeah, like, you know, you're like, oh, well, you know, like, I mean, I guess if you were somebody who a lot of people in town didn't like, you know.
You very know? Excited to see where this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, just a lot of people in the, and they keep trying to hurt you real bad, you know, running you down with their car and things like that.
Yeah.
And then in self-defense,
you fight back.
Yeah, you know, even if you like, let's say you get out of the way as it's trying to run you down and it hits a tree. And
so you got out of the way in self-defense.
Yeah.
Is that still self-defense?
I don't think it would be manslaughter if someone was trying to drive you over the car and you
I mean, I would love to meet the lawyer who will take that case on where they're like, this person, if they hadn't stepped out of the way, their body could have stopped that car from hitting that tree.
Or would have cushioned the blow.
Cushioned the blow. This is, at least on some level, they're culpable.
I mean, also, everybody in town hates him. But and so the judge is like, I'm going to allow this.
But again, this would have to happen like at least 3 times for him to be a serial.
That's right, yeah. But he gets off. He somehow gets off in the first one, you know, in this one. And so he's like, phew.
I think the hard thing with catching a serial accidental manslaughter would be that there would be no calling card. Right. Apart from the fact that because they wouldn't have a modus operandi, it would be unrelated events. Right. And maybe the genius goat detective, that's what they spot. They realize that the thing that links these together is that there's no common thread.
He realizes he's not eating the same bit of evidence twice this week.
These are all unrelated. These are all unrelated. Every single look at how we haven't used up any of the red thread on the spool over there. Not a single one of these pieces of evidence is connected in any way.
So then he tries to find a connection between every single person in the town, and there's only one person that doesn't have a connection to anyone. It's like, it has to be
think is why everybody hates that guy.
Yeah, that's also very funny for investigating to do a lot of very heavy lifting detective work, and someone goes, I reckon it's just the guy everyone hates.
Yeah. Like, you know, one guy shoots at him with a shotgun and he ducks down and it ricochets off of a metal thing.
Yeah, the shotgun does.
Yeah.
Wow.
All the pellets.
All the pellets ricochet off a concave surface.
Yeah.
So
Satellite dish.
A satellite dish. They reflect back concentrated into one point.
Like that. Yeah. So he has just a single dot.
Where all the shotgun pellets have gone through one after another in series instead of in parallel. This is a great one for Strange Unit.
Oh, yeah. A nice headshot.
This weird crime.
Guy who is hated.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah, great.
Oh, sure.
Thank you very much for those words, by the way.
That's no problem. I was really tempted to do Midnight Gazebo Club because that's on my t-shirt, but I thought Andy might figure it out after midnight.
I don't think I would.
Yeah.
I'm not that perspicacious.
Is this your band?
It's literally nothing.
Okay, great. Wow.
It's something we made up at university and I just keep wearing the t-shirt.
Wow, that's great. I mean, just even having a t-shirt that lasts still, from
it
university.
Still fits you from university. Yeah. It's very impressive.
Well, it's no sleeves now, as you can see.
Oh.
I've really cut a lot of holes in it to make it fit.
You didn't have arms in university?
No. I got those. They came in later.
Yeah, these are new. Yeah. I got my adult arms.
That'd be really something. If you had to get adult limbs, if your baby legs fall off and your adult legs come out feet first, slowly pushing through.
Is that breech? They come out breech feet first.
Sorry. Would you have to get an adult torso, or would the torso and head be the only things that remain?
I assume adult head. Your baby head falls off and your adult head emerges.
You know what always makes me feel anxious is thinking about having an exoskeleton and having to get out of it to shed it.
It would feel so good when you're out, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be
But that bit
horrible.
Where you're partially out and you're like, I'm stuck. There must be so many crabs and stuff like that that just die, like, partially out. Just like...
Really shows you how I've been, like, ruined by social media, or, like, by current, like, movies and stuff. When you said that, I just assumed you meant, like, a big Mac suit.
A big Mac? Oh, yeah.
A Mac suit, like, a robot thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, that would be scary.
Yeah, that would.
And then you start talking about crabs, and I was like, what?
What are you talking about?
But, yeah, I mean, think the mech suit is very much the, you know, I guess it literally is an exoskeleton, isn't it? But I think... The vision of, I guess, either knights in shining armor or futuristic mech warriors who have grown too big for their mech suits.
Yeah.
Cracking their way out and crawling limp and fleshy onto the ground, so vulnerable.
To,
until their new
people
mech suit
instead
comes
of bird
in.
Mech suits swoop by.
Swooping down.
Yeah. Do you mind if I go through sketch ideas?
Alistair, I wish you would.
We've got Business Irish or Disclaimer Irish, and this is going to be a new line of work for Stu in the United States of America, I'm thinking.
But really any United States.
Yeah, you're in the United Kingdom.
Correct.
Now, is it many kingdoms or it's one kingdom that's united?
I think it's one kingdom and it's very barely united, I would say.
Yeah.
It's tenuously united.
But they're all separate countries.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I believe Northern also Ireland is referred to as a principality.
Oh, right. So it's like a state or a province.
In many ways, it is the United States of Britain.
Yeah.
But then the United Arab Emirates, that one is like, there is a multiple sort of kingdoms. So that is like a United Kingdoms, I think.
We should change that to UK.
Yeah. I'll bring it up when I get home.
Do you mind?
Yeah, no
just
problem.
Just at the border.
The United British Emirates, are you interested? Taking that on?
I mean, I personally, I'm not interested because I refer to myself as being Irish normally. But if any other Brits listening want to, they're welcome to. I'm happy to deal with the logistics of it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, this could, I don't know. I'm not really across the geopolitics of it all, but I know you've been having a lot of trouble with Brexit and the, you know, the Good Friday Agreement and that sort of thing.
It's been fine.
This could solve it.
Yeah.
This is exactly it. This is what's really going to push us over the line.
I don't know. It feels like, we could give one of the conservatives. They just need a new topic to unite the conservatives again, and I think maybe this could be it. We got proxy civil war or stadium war. You know, just get a nice location where you can have your civil war.
Somewhere warm.
Somewhere warm. Yeah, nice place. But maybe that has the ground that can change like in a Pokemon stadium. And we have the open mic pickup game of civil war. And that's when you tell everybody, all right, we're going to be having the civil war. So if you want to come and just join in, 50 bucks or whatever like that, and pick a side, you know, we'll pick up anything. And then within that, we've kind of, it's a slightly different idea, but I've written down the bulletproof vests versus skins.
Oh, yeah,
that was good. I like that.
It's for like a more of a kind of a, you know, a fun.
Backyard war.
Backyard war. Family war, maybe, you know?
Nice.
Then we've got the turf versus turf war. and of course, there's a huge battle over how they should spell turf in turf war.
Yeah.
It's a big part of it as well. And that's trying to, who gets the word, the homophone, turf. Then we got the American hotbot. Personal deep fryer at the table thing. You know, you can buy a, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, like instead of those raw meats that you get like for the, you know, big, for a hot pot, you get like just a, like a table of like marshmallows and all sorts of weird like sweet stuff that they'll put in a dip in the batter.
What if the whole table, what you sit around is a big boiling vat of oil?
Oh, that's the stuff, like a hibachi grill. But instead of a grill, it's just a huge deep fryer.
Yeah.
And it's a guy with two knives.
Okay.
He's like splashing the oil like this. He's trying to chop things while they're in the oil.
Everyone's wearing a visor.
Yeah. This is great. He's making little jokes. He's like splashing oil on your shirt and he's writing something in oil.
Is deep frying, is that associated a lot with Scotland? Is that like a... I think this could be a Scottish themed... deep fry.
But Americans do deep fry.
No, absolutely. Yeah. But you know? Scotland are known for like a chip shop in Scotland. You go and just get a Mars bar.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not good.
No.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you'd eat it once. And just be like, yeah. Have you eaten more?
That's
than
why
once?
I would. Yeah.
What about this the Challenger Deep Fry, right? So the Challenger Deep, obviously the lowest point in the Mariana Trench, okay, where yeah. James Cameron is one of the only two people who's been in his submarine, yeah. right? This is the world's deepest deep fry.
Oh, it's like
and James Cameron gets to the bottom of it somehow. He goes down in a submersible built to go.
It's a meter and a half fry. Deep.
Oh.
They don't think about the fact that the submarine's going to increase in size as it's in there because it's going to start getting more and more battered on it. Yeah. It's not going to be able to get out of that.
They don't think of those things.
And of course the metal expands in heat.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, James Cameron, or James. Forget it. I was going to try and make a deep fried pun. I didn't have a single idea of what one deep fried food would be called.
Cameronions.
Camerfunions. There we go.
Cameronion rings?
Cameronion rings.
Cameron. James Cameron.
We got giving a hickey to the most dangerous neck of all. Yeah. Then we've got kissing your step identical twin brother. I can't remember exactly what that was about.
No,
part of it was about is how you change your face so that you look a little bit more like the person you're kissing.
I mean, is it like. We should ask our beloveds when we get home. Is it kissing if I kiss somebody but I pull my lips back in?
That's right. It
feels like we could maybe get the Mormons on board with this.
Is this cheating?
Oh, yeah.
Would you consider this cheating if me and somebody pressed our bony mounds against each other and then, you know, and I wore a condom on my tongue?
But just the way in which it would be so sort of dry and it's. I mean, would we call it turtling? It does feel like a turtle kiss.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to Google that, right?
No.
I think we should. You think you should put a poll on the Instagram after this? You know, just do the face. Mm-hmm.
Is it the poll from the vigilante firefighter?
Yeah.
We've got the vigilante firefighter. We've also got Rattleneck, who's the guy who can grind his bones as a defense mechanism. We got Bernie at Sanders. We got Weekend at Burgers. We got the Pope accidentally kills Jesus. We've got a goat detective who eats all the evidence. And then we've got the serial manslaughter guy who is hated by everybody.
I really am quite excited about the Pope killing Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's very good. Very strong.
Something in there really tickles me. Like the stakes are so incredibly high and the idea of seeing the Pope in this position of vulnerability. Yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah, and he does it in the room by himself with Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
I reckon it happens before people even really know what's going on. Do you mean? Like, I reckon he's just praying on his own. Jesus appears to him and he's frightened and just strikes him. And then it's like, oh no. Like, before anyone even knows
it's
Jesus
really
is back.
Good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Like, Jesus just puts his hand on his shoulder. The Pope just swings around, accidentally pushes him into an open fire.
Yeah. But then there are angels that come to earth and do announce to everyone that Jesus has returned. He's communing with the Pope and he will appear. So there are actual angels there. The general population is expecting Jesus. Everything's been confirmed. Jesus is there. The angels pop in to check on the Pope, say, how'd you go get along with Jesus? The Pope's like,
oh, he's just sleeping.
Great,
right
he's
now.
Just changing. He's just
having a
doing shit.
It'd be such a great scene in the movie. Like if you play the two scenes at the same time, where the Pope thinks he's got away with it, and then opens the door, and everyone else is like, "How good is it that Jesus is back?" And he's like, "What?"
The angels are there.
Yeah,
angels, we just told them. Yeah. We told everybody.
It's like the actual like biblical angels, as well, with like 1,000 eyes, and 8 wings. Yeah. They're just horrible to look at.
And then of course, oh no, that was all the sketches.
That's a very hefty list there. You have kept episode 400 form up there.
Yeah, well, we're now. It's hard for us to.
I mean, what's the factor in here in this room? That might have made this.
Oh, it's the pen from episode 400.
It's the pen. It's the magic pen.
Yeah.
It's the magic pen.
The magic pen that didn't work. Stu, well, how about we say goodbye to you after the song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fine.
All right.
So it's good to me.
I think these are some of the best songs.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, it's because we've not done songs in person for so long. And then you go, oh, it does help when you get...
Yeah.
But, I mean, we did have a false start before, right before we started recording. You're like, oh, it's not recording.
Yeah.
And that was one of the worst ones we'd ever done. That first
I didn't want to say it at the time, but I was like, this is a bad omen.
Yeah, this was really bad, and it was great that you weren't recording.
Yeah.
Stu...
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming all this way.
That's fine.
And it probably is the furthest that you can travel to get to a podcast.
It was 25 hours of travel. Yeah. And I would like to everyone know this is the first place where I came.
Yeah. Like I picked
and
you
did
up
you
the
watch
airport.
The 400th episode of Two of the Think Tank on the Plot?
I didn't. And I'll tell you exactly why I didn't, honey, because I forgot to download it. But I opened it and it did not play. And I was like, ah.
I think that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
I watched a good portion of it, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, why would anybody? But thank you so much to everyone who has.
I think it would have been really cool if you'd come in finishing watching episode 400 as you step into the podcast studio and we hit record and you're there.
Yeah, you could just hear the end of the episode of you angrily leaving the studio because you've been there for so long. Yeah.
And we're now officially in season 5.
Mm. Do you want to plug anything else there?
I've appeared on...
I think this is season 4, actually.
Do you think? I think it might be season 5. I don't know.
I mean, I'm the one who uploads the episodes and says what season they are. Yeah. I'm sure it's season
5. I know, but I just said that halfway through it became season 5.
Halfway through this episode?
Yeah.
Do you want me to change it now? So season 4 was actually only like 2 episodes long?
Yeah. Okay. That's exactly what I want.
Okay, great.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I have to die at the end of this episode.
Yeah. I think because it's like the season 0, there would be, you know, 0 to 100 would be season 0.
I think season 1 went
for like 200 episodes. Yeah.
So anyway. You're plugging the first 100 episodes.
Yeah, I'm just, go back and listen to those if you ever want. I've appeared on some podcasts. You can go through my Twitter feed. Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. And I think that's about it. No, I have appeared on other things, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did Sci-Fight, which is a live comedy debate about the topic... Science is magic. Science killed magic.
Yeah,
and I think that's going up as a podcast somewhere soon.
It's amazing that somebody almost died right before that podcast. It wasn't because somebody got hit by a car. Had to replace somebody who got hit by a car.
I was first and third speaker because our original first speaker was in a car accident. They're fine.
Okay, that's great. Okay. I
got hit by a car this year.
Just did you?
Really crazy. Yeah, by my own Uber driver.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I have to know.
Okay.
What rating did you give them?
I'm going to tell you now, Andy, right? I still give them a 5-star rating. And I'm going to explain what happened. I was going to Amsterdam. I explained this to Al earlier. Went to Amsterdam for the first time this year. And I was in a hurry because I had to go to London, which is far away from where I live, to get the train to Amsterdam. So I got an Uber home from work. The Uber driver was the most chatty Uber driver I ever had. Was very, very polite. Was talking to me about Amsterdam, except telling me things to do. I got out of his car, closed the door, walked around behind the car, and he just reversed over me. And then he turned around to me and said, sorry, the reversing sensor wasn't working. And I just was like, but you can see?
Yeah.
And I had already rated him while I got out of the car.
Oh my
and
God.
Then I was just in shock that I'd been hit by a car, that I sat still for like an hour. And then I literally put a bag of frozen peas in a wrestling knee pad and went to London. I'd spent the 2 days in Amsterdam in intense pain.
Oh, no.
But it was a good trip.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. It was a spinned earlier on. I wrote the worst sketch anyone's ever written while in Amsterdam.
Sure.
I was quite high. The first time I'd ever taken marijuana in my life, Andy. And I turned to my beloved and said, I think this is the funniest I've ever been. Let's write a sketch. And the next day I read the notepad and it just said Weird Aldi. And the line of it said, Weird Al names all of Aldi's products. That was the entire sketch I'd written.
You know what? I don't think that's the worst sketch idea that's ever been written.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's even the worst sketch idea that's been on this podcast.
Today.
Yeah.
Could you promote anything?
Oh, yes. I am on the podcast What the Flick, where me and my good friend Matthew try to come up with what we expect the plot of movies to be based only on the poster of the movie. You've been on before.
I have appeared on it. It was a wonderful episode. We did the movie AI.
Yeah, which somehow was weirder than the one that we actually made, which involved mutant Haley Joel Osment and Jack Osborne fighting each other. And somehow the real movie was weirder than that.
Yeah.
And also I'm on Twitch, like twice a week at the Macaroni Prince. It's a good time.
Macaroni Prince. It is a real good time.
Yeah, and if you want updates on that, join the Two in the Think Tank Discord, where we get updates every time Stu is streaming.
Yeah, I do feel really bad about that because Brian, who set that up, said, I've set it up so that anytime you or Al stream, it will update, and Al's not streamed since. So it's more or less just my channel.
Well, that's okay.
I'm very happy with that.
It's a good forum. Thank you so much for coming all this way.
No problem.
And Andy, thank you for coming all this way. It's the first in-person one we've done.
It's crazy that out of all of us, it felt like I was the one who was the least likely to make it to this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet here I am.
We did it.
We would have done it on Patreon or something.
Thank you so much, Stu.
That's no problem.
And we love you.
I'm going to just die off camera now.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.